Blog Talk Radio.
I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, help me say.
Born to reign,
say.
Born to reign in life.
I am no ordinary person.
I'm no ordinary person.
Whoa, whoa.
I'm dancing for
sing praise. It like you believe it.
Born to reign.
Born to reign.
Born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for
circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters tend to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no. Sing it like you mean it, say. Ooh, na, 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 wo, yo.
I'm
no ordinary, ordinary, no, 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 no.
I'm destined for greatness.
Oh, yes, yes, I am.
You are born to win. Born to reign in life. You're no ordinary person. You are destined by God for greatness. Father God, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, to say we love you, Lord. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you, God, for another day to praise you, another day, oh God, to honor you, another day of life. And so we say thank you, God. We don't take it for granted. We thank you for waking us up in soundness of mind. We thank you for waking us up, you know, with a desire to come to you, to hear your word. We thank you, God. We thank you. We know that every good thing in our life has come from you. And we know also, God, that every challenge that we face, we will be overcome because of you standing with us. And so we say thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who's always with us, our guide. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who came and died so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, we love you this morning. We honor you. We thank you. And so, Father God, we praise you. We praise you for all that you've done and for all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your mouth now and begin to give God thanks. Thank him for your lives. Thank him for your families, your health, your careers, your businesses. Thank him for his word. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let's thank God first and foremost for his word. Thank him for his word. We thank you, God. Praise you for your word. Thank you, God. Thank you for our children. Thank you for our spouses. Thank you for our health. Thank you for our jobs, our careers, our talents, the skills you've given us. We thank you, God. Thank you for understanding. Our understanding is increasing. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And so, Lord, we return as one man, one voice this morning to say thank you for it all. Thank you, Father God. And we pray this morning again, O God, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened as the word goes forth today. And Father, we ask, O God, that you would strengthen each and every one of us with might by your spirit in a man. And Lord, let the love of Jesus Christ be rooted and grounded in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And the church said, amen and amen. You can always pray that prayer. Those prayers are found in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, that asking God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You must pray that on a daily basis. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning from about verse 17. Because, you know, when you go to the scriptures, you want to see, right? You want to really see. You want to really hear. And so you never pick up the Bible out of duty or as a textbook. You know, you must pick it up, you know, with God beside you, the Holy Spirit teaching you. So you must always ask him first, you know, to open the eyes of your understanding. Right? Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You want revelation. That's when you know, you're reading the word, but it's more than just the word. It's speaking to you, because that's what the Bible is. The Bible is God's book of instruction for humanity, right? And so you can't, but you can't come to it with the intellect. You can't just approach it with the intellect. You see, in order to experience the transformational power of the word, the supernatural power of the word in our lives and in our affairs, we have to come to the word with our heart, right? Because God speaks to us through our heart. He doesn't just speak to you. He doesn't speak to your mind. It touches your heart. Obviously, you know, the information is coming through the mind, coming through the intellect, but the heart is what receives it. So that's why people can read the word and have an intellectual understanding of the word, but never see the results of the word because they don't have it in their heart. You see, so it's very important to understand that. So last week when we left off, you know, I offered you the assignment of, what did God say? What did God say? And so, you know, just love to hear from you. Anything that you'd like to share about it, if you had an opportunity to do it. Because, you know, you can make good, you can have good intentions. And then, you know, everything gets so busy, right? There's so much to do. But if you had an opportunity to spend some time and just look at what did God say in various areas of life, you know, anything you came across that you'd like to share, or just your experience in doing it, we'd love to hear from you. So just hit 1 on your keypad, and we'll give you an opportunity to share. Looking at what did God say? What did God say? Because God said so much, right? And it's always, whenever you hear what God said, it always encourages you. It always lifts your spirit. You can't ever hear what God said and be down. You know? And so what we want to begin to do is train ourselves, right? It's a daily training. It's a discipline that you develop, you know, asking yourself, what did God say? Because we're always being bombarded with what the advertisers are saying, right? What the authorities are saying, right? What people are saying, what family is saying. What your own mind is saying, what doctors are saying. But we must always look to what did God say and meditate on that, feed on that, stand on that, declare that, speak that, right? What did God say? So if you want to share what God said, anything that you found or the experience, what opened up for you, did something open up for you, did you get any insight as you were doing this? We'd love to hear from you. So just hit 1 on your keypad, and we'll give you an opportunity to share. In the meantime, I'm going to take a look at, I can't believe none of y'all pressing 1. And a whole bunch of y'all pressed 1 last week, didn't y'all? How many people going to do the assignment? How many people, remind me now, remind me if I forget. How many people going to do it? Oh, man, the board just lit up.
Now I'm saying, okay, so we back now. What you got? Share with us. Come on, share your food with us. Ain't nobody saying nothing. Oh, I love it. All right, I know. And I know y'all ain't shy. Y'all been here long enough, y'all ain't shy. All right, you didn't get a chance to do the assignment. That's all right, but God says something. Ain't you got something you holding on to that God said? All right, praise the Lord. But thank God I'm always prepared, right? I'm always prepared. I ain't playing. You know, I got to know what God said. Well, let's start with what did God say about our health? How about that? Let's take a look at, you know, what God said about our health. And, you know, if you get some courage, come on now. If you get some courage, hit one. I'll come back. I'm looking out for you. Praise the Lord. He said, go on, Hazel, you know. That's why we woke up. That's why we're here. You go on and tell us what he said. All right, I'm going to do just that. What did God say? Let's look at what did God say about our health. Proverbs 4:20-23. I'd like to read it from the King James Version. What did God say about our health? My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Right? Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them. And here it is. And health to all their flesh. And verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, issues of life. So whenever I'm meditating on that scripture, I always include verse 23, because that's the key to the whole thing. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And when the Bible speaks of the heart, of course, it's not speaking of the organ, speaking of your spirit. So you have to keep your spirit with all diligence, not letting anything in your heart. You can't hold on to bitterness, resentment, you know, all of that stuff got to be let go, right? Because out of your heart comes the issues of our lives, is what the Bible is saying. That's what God is saying to us. So it's for us to be mindful of that. Amen? Let's go on. What does God say? Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But listen now. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That's what God said. That's what God said. And so we have to say continually what God said. We don't say nothing else. We only say what God said. 1 Peter 2:24. We're looking at what did God say about our health. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. Peter says you were healed. 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So if Jesus took it, there's no reason for you and me to have it. If he took it, there's no reason for us to have it. But if you don't know that he took it, it will be your flu and your cold and your arthritis and your bad back and your bad knee. See? But we meditate upon what God says until it enters us. We meditate upon what did God say. And when you anything you feed upon, anything you meditate upon day and night, it becomes you, right? It becomes a part of you. That's what's living and breathing inside of you. Amen? Go on. And if you want to share, if there's anything that opens up for you, you know, you think of something or... I'd like to have the call be interactive today. So if you want to share, you know, then just hit one. If you hear something in one of these scriptures that resonates for you, hit one. And if you have a testimony, of course, you know, always hit one. And the testimony is simply tell us briefly what was the situation. What did you do and what did God do? Because we're always in partnership with God. What did God say about aging? What did God say about aging? Let's look at these two scriptures. Psalm 92, 12 to 15. Let's look at it in the Amplified version. Psalm 92, 12 to 15. The uncompromisingly righteous palm tree, be long lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. Come on, say with me. That's me. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Hallelujah. Majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14. Growing in grace, they still bring forth fruit in old age. And one of the things that you must keep in mind, grace multiplies by knowledge. Right? Grace increases in one's life by knowledge. That's why the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But the more you know and understand of what God has said, grace increases upon your life. Verse 14 again, Psalm 92, 12 to 15, we're reading from the Amplified version. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, hallelujah. They shall be full of sap, spiritual vitality, and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. I love that word, contentment, now. They are living memorials. God said you are a living memorial to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's take that again. This is what God has said about how we are to age. This is what God is saying about aging. This is how God created his creation to age. Listen to it. The uncompromisingly righteous, it begins with the uncompromisingly righteous, shall flourish like the palm tree, be long-lived, useful and fruitful. So there's no getting old and they're pushing you aside. You're still relevant. You're relevant to your world. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. How? What does that mean? Majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. That's the uncompromisingly righteous. Planted in the house of the Lord. And so we can listen to that now. Planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. That could be a baby or a business. So all of you out there who have not yet been married, gotten married, believe in God for your children and your marriages, stop letting the devil play with your mind that because you're this age now, you're not going to have any kids. Get a hold of this verse and meditate on it. What did God say? What did God say? What did God say? Growing in grace, and I just told you grace multiplies by knowledge. Growing in grace still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap. Spiritual vitality, so you're not dragging. Rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. They're content. Love is in their heart. They're full of trust for God. And so they become living memorials, verse 15. They are living memorials to show. Because God, what's a dead memorial? You know, when you die, that's when they say, oh, this person was this. And I tell people the good things about them now. Living memorial. This is who you are in my life. This is how you've impacted me. Thank you for who you are. I do that regularly. You got to tell people now. Don't wait till the dead, you know, they memorialize people at the end. Now everybody wants to come and say what they meant. Why don't you tell them that when they're living? Verse 15, they are living memorial to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. What did God say about aging? Looking at that. Proverbs 4, verse 18. Proverbs 4, verse 18. Listen, but the path of the just, hallelujah, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And so you're getting stronger and stronger until you cross over. You see, it's what we believe, it's what we accept. And if we believe what we see, the pattern we see about aging, and if we believe what we hear about what's supposed to happen, then that is what will transpire. But if you stand with the word of God and you listen to the giants of God who have the proof, oh, come on, come on, you'll be strengthened from within. So I read these every day. I meditate on them every day. I declare them every day over my life. Because it's the truth. It's what God said. And so you want what God said to be what moves you more than what anybody else said. Because the world is always going to say something contrary. Now that's just the world you're living in. But the world believers are living in is a different world, right? That's why Jesus said, be in the world, but not of it. All right, let's go on. What did God say? You want to look again at what did God say? Let's take another area. Oh, dear. A moment. What did God say about your safety? What did God say about protection? What did God say about my safety? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of love and of a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We'll start with that because the enemy, you know, the earth is run by fear. There's always something to frighten you, always something to try and frighten you. You know, you can just live in fear. You can pray in fear. You know, you're just in fear. If you don't meditate on this word, and recognize, wait a minute, this is a spirit. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You have to rebuke it. And then begin to declare, Father, I thank you for power. I thank you for love. I thank you for soundness of mind. Because the Bible says, this is what God has said. He said, so when you're feeling fear, when I'm feeling fear, that's not God. Fear for your children, fear for your life, fear for your future, that's not God. It's a spirit. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. So the minute you feel fear, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I have the spirit of power. I have love. I have a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. What did God say about your safety? Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Come on now. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hallelujah. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I love it. Come on, let's say that. Let's hear that again. When thou passest through the waters, right? The times you're going through life, man, the waters are high, aren't they? Have you been there? If you haven't, keep living. You will. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So you're going through situations, you're going through circumstances. But man, you're not even, they can't even see the smoke on you. They can't even smell the smoke on you. Why? For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I'm with you. You see, you feed your mind. You feed your, you get this into your mind. And then it drops into your spirit. Builds faith in you. Gives you the confidence, the divine confidence, not egoic confidence, divine confidence to walk through and to face the challenges of life. Because as long as you're living, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be storms. Those things, it's just part of life. But they shall not overcome you. Come on now. They shall not overflow you. You shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. That's what God said. And Isaiah 41:10 comes to mind. Let me pull that up real quick for you. So y'all got anything? Anybody got anything God said out there? God ain't say nothing to y'all. Does God be a good? One moment, let me get this. Fear not. Listen to this one now. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. See that? Fear thou not, Isaiah 41:10, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So when the fear comes in and the doubt comes in and the confusion wants to come into your mind, you flip to the word. You see? You don't let it settle. You don't start to reason it with your intellect. You go to the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And so you always got the word in your heart. What did God say? As we live this life, you know, at different points, you come to different challenges or different crossroads or different decisions you have to make. Even the great things of life, you know, the wonderful opportunities that will come your way, the wonderful blessings that come your way, the wonderful breakthroughs that come your way. But even still, you still want to know, what did God say? How do I nurture the blessing, you know? For example, like in marriage, you know, people get excited and they're all happy and we talk for 2 hours and we talk for 3 hours and, you know, and yeah, 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 yeah. Well, those are the pheromones working in the initial stages. The pheromones, you know, God, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so God, you know, has created these amazing chemicals in us, you know, that connect us to our mate, right? And so it gives the male, especially, the opportunity, you know, the ability, I should say, to woo the woman, to entice the woman, to engage the woman. And so he becomes more talkative than usual for men. And so you're excited by that. And oh, he can talk. You know, we talk for hours, and that's because the pheromones are working, my love. But you've got to do the work. When the pheromones go, they last up to on the long end, they can last up to 2 years, maybe a little bit more. And then after that, they're gone. They subside greatly. And so if you haven't done the work on what did God say about my marriage, that's when most people start falling apart. No, think about it. Some of these relationships, they end after 2 years. Some marriages don't even make 2 years. And some keep pushing on. But there's not real joy there. What did God say? Let's get back to safety. But I wanted to share that. That just came up. So I'm, you know me, I'm just going with what God is saying as I'm saying it. Let's look at what did God say. Psalm 91:14-16. We're looking at safety. What did God say about our safety? Because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Hallelujah. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, when I do it, I say it like this. Because Hazel has set her love upon me, therefore will I deliver her. I will set her on high because she has known my name. She shall call upon me, and I will answer her. And he does. I will be with her in trouble. Amen. I will deliver her and honor her. With long life will I satisfy Hazel and show her my salvation. And so when you're reading these scriptures, when you're declaring them, you want to make them personal because God is speaking to you. You see, the Bible is God speaking to us individually and collectively. Got it? What did God say about our safety, about protection? When you're tempted to feel afraid, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But thou art with me, hallelujah. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so these are not scriptures to just rattle off. They're scriptures to meditate on day and night. So instead of worrying about the situation or whatever the things are, you're meditating on what God said. You got to get to that place. What did God say? And that's all you're looking to find out. That's all you're looking to meditate upon. In between times, you know, you're at your work. You're doing your business. You're handling your work. Okay, fine. Then there's other time. You know, those free times. You got to be in the Word, meditating on the Word, letting it fill you up. Because then when you go back to your work, you'll find that because you've been meditating on God's Word and God's Word is light, you'll find that suddenly you see how to handle that problem. Suddenly you know how to write this report. Suddenly, you understand? Because he brings you ideas. Because why? You have the mind of Christ by his Word. Hallelujah. Be ye transformed, the Bible tells us, by the renewing of your mind. And so when you start to renew your mind with the Word of God, you cannot be the same person. It's not possible. It's not possible. You cannot be fearful. You cannot be a procrastinator. You cannot be a failure. It's not possible. My flesh may grow weak at times because you're in this body. The flesh still, you know, might feel weak at times, but your spirit is strong. You see? And so, even when you have those times, you know, sometimes I'm praying before the Lord, depending on what it is, I'm crying. But it's not tears of defeat. You know, it might just be tears of humility. You know, it might just be tears about the situation, but it's not defeat. Because why? When you feed yourself enough on what God said, you can't be defeated. And so you can never accept defeat. You can never rest with it. Because in your spirit, man, something else is boiling. The Word of God is there. You've been putting it there, meditating on it. You see? And so you want to meditate, you know, meditate on these scriptures, you know, at least 7 minutes a day on each one. Yeah, you got 7 minutes to meditate on the Word. Philippians 4:6-8, what did God say about our safety? Do not be anxious about anything. This is the New International Version. Do not be anxious about anything, because you're all right. You're safe in God. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So by prayer, right, and petition, some say supplication, meaning specific request, with thanksgiving, you've made the prayer, now you're in thanksgiving mode. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then I love verse 8, because he gives us instructions. This is what he said. The Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Hallelujah. You hear that? These are instructions. They're not just to be memorized or, you know, to impress people that you know these scriptures. They are to be obeyed. They are to be implemented in our lives. You got it? They are to be practiced. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble. Now, it may be true, but it might not be noble. It may be true, but it ain't right. So you're not thinking about it. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, it may be true, but it may not be lovely. Whatever is admirable, it has to fit this criteria to enter my mind. You understand? It has to fit this criteria to enter my mind. It has to fit this criteria for me to meditate on it. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So you're not thinking about what didn't work. You're not thinking about the marriage that didn't happen and didn't work. You're not thinking about, you know, what your child's not doing right now. You're not thinking about the job that, you know, they should have promoted you and they didn't. You're not thinking about those things. Whatever is excellent and praiseworthy, that's why you got to know, what did God say? Because no matter what has happened, you're on your way somewhere. Because the path of the just is as a shining light that grows more and more into the perfect day. So it doesn't matter what darkness comes up along the way, because the just is as a shining light. My path is as a shining light, and it's got to grow brighter and brighter. I don't care what's happening to everybody else. God bless you. I'm going to give you the word. I'm going to help you, whatever I can do. But you're not going to impact on me. I'm not going to believe what you said. I'm believing what God said. Because, you see, that's what Joshua and Caleb, that's how come they entered in. They didn't go by what the other, it was 10 of them that went in there, right? 10 of them that went to spy out the land. And you know how everybody's seeing what they're seeing. Everybody's seeing like how they're seeing like, through their own lenses, their own set of glasses they're looking through. But I'm looking through the lens of the word. And that's what I'm trying to, convey to you this morning. You want to look through the lens of what God said. You want to look through the lens of the word of God. And you don't want to just look at it. You want to, you know, take it on, practice it. And yes, you will fall short at times, but it's all right. Dust yourself off, forgive yourself, get up and go at it again. You don't stay down. What did God say? What did God say? And that's all you're focused on. That's all you're focused on. Not what happened that ain't good, not what's not working. What did God say? Man, you've got to get violent about it. You got to get violent in your spirit about it. You know what I'm saying? You've got to. Just take it. I love when God said to Moses and them, Deuteronomy 2, 24, he said, look, you've gone around this mountain long enough. You've gone around this mountain long enough. Come on. Go forward. So you go forward. What did God say? God said, go forward. What did God say? God said, go forward. You know, when I knew it was time to go back to the stage, you know, wanted to be sure, you know, asking God, you know, just being clear. Where did I go for my guidance? Where do you think I went? I didn't ask people. I might have asked my mother. I might have talked to her. You know, but where's she at? She up in heaven having a good time. Watching me going, you better get it right. I did all I could. Now you better get it right. You better get it right. You see? So I had to go to, what did God say? You understand? Always, always looking at, what did God say? And 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. Before I could even, I remember the moment so clearly. I was about to bow my knees. And 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, just jumped up in my spirit. Pursue. For surely thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all. Pursue. Pursue. You see? Well, I don't know who you are this morning or what you're going through. You know, and perhaps in that area too, perhaps in your area of business or career. But God is saying to you, pursue. You know, a lot of times people give up on their dreams. They give up on their plans for whatever reason, you know, whatever God had spoken to them. And, pursue. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And then he spoke this one to me, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 and 24, from the Living Bible, 1 Corinthians 7, 20 and 24. A person should keep on with the work he was doing when God called him, for now the Lord is there to help him. A person should keep on with the work he was doing when God called him, for now the Lord is there to help him. Now, you know how many times I've read Corinthians in these 8 years? I never saw that like that. Never saw that like that. But as we were preparing and writing and, you know, and getting it together, the Lord revealed that to me, just showed me that.
And it's amazing how he will open your eyes to see something that you'd never seen before. And you might have been reading that same scripture for years, and suddenly, you know, it jumps out at you in a way that it never had before. Proverbs 18, verse 16, what has God said about your career? A man's gift, make it room for him and brings him before great men. God has deposited gifts in you. There's something you can do that nobody can do it quite like you. They might be doing the same thing, but you're doing it, you know, slightly different, your way, your own unique way. All of y'all are singing, but your voice, right? You ain't trying to be better than nobody else, but you're just looking to give it the way God has put it in you. You see? And your gift, that gift that he has put in each and every one of us, makes room for you. And you know what? Because the gifts of God are without repentance, the Bible tells us, even if somebody's not a believer, their gifts are making room for them. Don't you see it all the time? Those who are bold enough to share their gifts, the gifts are making room for them. And then you have believers who have doubled the gifts. But for whatever reason, you know, not having renewed their mind, fear keeps them from giving. Fear keeps them from believing. Fear keeps them from expressing. And so that's why, if that's a challenge, you've got to begin to meditate on that 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love of a sound mind. So if you know, I can do more. I should be doing more. I can do more, but I'm not doing it. You kind of sense yourself playing safe, playing small, holding back, right? It ain't saying, okay, so maybe the devil is in there. You know, but we ain't got time to be blaming the devil for everything. Come on now. We know he's on the earth. We know he runs things, you know, negatively. We know all that. But when you're a believer, so what? So what? But you see, this doesn't just happen just like that. This doesn't just happen just like that. It doesn't just happen because you go to church on Sunday. It'd be great if it did. It doesn't. Okay? It doesn't just happen because you read your little devotional and the scripture they give you with it. It doesn't happen just because of that. It happens because you're consistent, delving into the word, meditating on specific scriptures that deal with your challenge. Because you want to work on that particular area in you. The problem is never out there, right? We have to work on us. So what was it that Joshua and Caleb had that had them say, hey, you know, no, yeah, there are giants in the land, because there are going to be giants in the land. We got to get that. There's going to be giants in the land. There's going to be giants in the land. Stop waiting for the giants to go away, praying for the giants to go away. There's going to be giants in the land, but we are well able to overcome them, God said. And that's what Joshua and Caleb stood on, man. And so they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years till all them negative people, all them spies and all them people that they put fear in, because that's what the negative report will do, is fill you with fear. And once you're filled with fear, you're not going to move forward. And so that's what they did. And so they had to wander. But I bless God today that as we give the word out, and who receives it, receives it. Who don't receive it, don't receive it. But I ain't got to wander in the wilderness with nobody. You understand? You don't have to wander in the wilderness with nobody. You share it. You give it. And every man for himself takes responsibility. That's why that woman with issue of blood, she had to go touch the garment for herself. And you know what? You heard what she had to say. She had to talk to herself. Now, the Holy Spirit had to have given her that word. We got the word in here because, you know, it's recorded. But she had to, she said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. That's what she had to say to herself to get her healing. Because for 12 years, she'd been pursuing this healing and couldn't get it. Now everything was gone. Now everything was gone. Now, what if she was saying to herself, oh, yeah, I heard he's healing people, but, you know, I don't think he's going to heal me. But that's not for us now. Well, you know, if it's his will, he'll heal me. Well, if it's his, if she was saying that, you wouldn't even hear about her. And he wasn't coming to her, going to Jairus' house to raise Jairus' dead daughter, because they said Jairus' daughter had died. So he was going, actually, at the time when he was going, the daughter hadn't even died yet. Jairus was a big hoo-hoo guy, and he came and got him and said, hey, can you come to my house? Because my daughter is dying, close to death. And so he was going there. But she didn't care where he was going. She wasn't even trying to get him to lay hands on her. She wasn't trying to do none of that that we be trying to do. She just kept saying. So what, you see, what we're saying to ourselves is critical. And what we're letting people say to us, you can't let anybody, even if they say it, because you know they're going to say what they're going to say, you ain't got to receive it. And depending on their level of authority, you may not, you know, it would be wise to not open your mouth to them in that moment. But inside, because she couldn't even open her mouth out loud on this one. Inside, she was saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And then what was she doing? She didn't just sit down in her house saying, oh, man, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. See, that's where we're missing. A lot of people do that. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. They saying the right thing, I'll be made whole. Man, if I could just, if I could just touch the hem of his, if I just had enough faith, if I just. She didn't just say the thing, man. She started going toward it. Why? Because faith without works is dead. It ain't faith alone, but if you got the right word, and if you're really meditating on the right word, it'll move you. Oh, I'm here to tell you, it'll move you. It'll move you into action. I got to show God willing tomorrow night. You think every time every time it's like, oh, rah, rah. No, stuff comes up all along the way. But I'm moving toward the stage. I'm moving toward that stage tomorrow night. I'm moving toward, and lives will be touched. Lives will be impacted. I'm moving toward it. You see? But why is that? Because of the word planted in me. You see? And so you stand on God's word. And she kept saying, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I could touch the hem of his garment. And because that's what she was saying, that's what she ended up doing. What you say will ultimately end up in what you do. What you say and what you keep putting in you will ultimately be what you act upon. Yeah. You know? So important to understand that. This woman wrote a beautiful card to me. She says, so many times I came to your shows over the years. And on some occasions, I was going through different challenges in life and needed that uplift or cheering up. At all of your shows, at the end, when I was getting ready to go, I always left feeling better, uplifted, and happy for having come. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? I always feeling better, uplifted, and happy, right, for having come than when I arrived. And, you know, that's always the prayer that we put in the circle before we pray, before we perform. You know, I do a circle with my team. And because people think it's a one-woman show, but it's really not. There's so many people helping me. It could never be a one-woman show. You know, my director, Dudley Finlay, is just an amazing friend. And, you know, we just collaborate well together. And then I have this amazing team of, you know, graphic designers and makeup artists and, you know, all the people that come together, the technicians and the lighting people, you know. And I remember the last show we did, the technician, the sound and light person, gave us some ideas that we implemented in the show. It was hysterical. So it's just, you know, it's a team. It's everybody coming together. But we always pray that people leave different than they came, you know, because some are coming with expectations. They know me. They know my work and so on. They're coming excited and they're ready. And they may have brought other people with them. But many are coming not knowing me or the work. And we're always looking to have it not just be a show. And we say that about it. It's not. It's more than a show, you know. It's a message of hope and possibility. We're always looking. I'm always looking to convey that, even through my artistic work. So we have a show tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Triad Theater in New York City. And you can get your tickets at www.triadnewyorkcity.com.
And so you always want to be filled with the Word of God so that you know what God said and that you allow what God said and only what God said to move you, because that is what, you know, will transform your life and my life. I have others, but in the interest of time, you know, y'all were supposed to help me today, man. Where did y'all go? Where did y'all go? I thought we were going to do this together. I had this vision, folks were going to be hitting one, and then they're going to say, oh, yeah, and this is what God said, and I got this. And it, you know, that was all in my mind, huh? Y'all had another plan. We going to tune in, and we going to listen. Let her feed us. That's what she said she called, so let her be called. Right? She said she called, so let her be called. Amen and amen. Listen, don't try it. We all call. You call too. Come on now. I want to read this, and I want to read this quickly. Well, let me do this first. If you're under the sound of my voice and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do so now. If you're not saved, you're not safe, and you don't have access to what God said. If you're under the sound of my voice and perhaps you knew Jesus Christ, but the road got long, you got discouraged and, you know, turned away, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He's coming. Now he's glorious, well, he is coming, but he's calling you to come back home. And so both and the other group, if you knew Christ and you, you know, you went away, you got discouraged, for whatever reason, again, he's calling you to come back home. So come now. Both groups, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I come to you today. You know my life. You know how I have lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sin. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, my physician and healer, my provider, who died for my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and live your life in me and through me. From this day forward, I belong to you. Bow your heads now as I pray with you. Dear Lord, these are your children that you have brought to yourself this morning. No man comes unless you call them. And so, Lord, we thank you for calling them. We thank you for drawing them. And let the same grace that drew them this morning, let that same grace continue to keep them until the end. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, welcome. You have just come home to the kingdom of our Father, Almighty God. And a change has taken place with me. But now you have to do your part. You have to pray and ask God to lead you to your church home. You belong somewhere. And there will be a church where they preach and teach the uncompromised word of faith. They will practice water baptism as well as the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And when the altar call is made, feel free to go forward and give your life publicly to Christ there as well. And we welcome you here. And if someone invited you, maybe you're listening to us for the first time, but it was God who sent for you. And he sent you here to give you the keys to the kingdom, the keys to his plan for your life. Amen and amen. Let's look at this one before we close out. What did God say about your prosperity? Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. Another translation says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and toiling does not increase. So it's not your work. It's the blessing of God upon your life, that blessing. Once you come into the kingdom of God, you're now under the blessing. You're no longer under the curse. You're under the blessing. Right? There's a curse reigning on the earth. We talked about that. We'll talk about it another time. But right now, when you come into the kingdom, that's what the blood covering does. You come under the blood. You come under the blessing. And so that blessing is what prospers you. God gives you favor. He gives you strength. He gives you ideas. Prospering the work of your hands. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And 2 Corinthians 9, 8, the Amplified Version. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, and whatever the need, be self-sufficient.
hallelujah, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. So God will always provide for you in abundance, according to what you believe, you see. In Psalms 112, verse 1 to 3, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed, that's our children, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. You know, when you hear you hear about generational curses? But that's broken with us, you see. That's broken. You cross over into righteousness, that generational curse ends with you. Once you come under the blood, that stops. And so now blessing is going down your line. Your lineage is blessed. Do you understand that? His seed shall be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. I'm blessed because of my mom. My son's blessed because of my mom, because of me. So no matter what it looks like, they're blessed. Your children are blessed. Right? So no matter what was happening, you have stepped into righteousness. I have stepped into righteousness. Our lineage is blessed. And verse 3 now. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. You know, when God opened my eyes to see that scripture years ago, it blew my mind. Verse 3, Psalm 112, verse, wealth and riches shall be in his house, the house of the righteous. Now, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So it is indeed possible to be rich and righteous. And listen to me, that's the only way you want it, is with righteousness. Because any other way is trouble. I was listening yesterday, you know, forced to listen. I kind of was curious too. I was getting my nails done. You know how they have the whatever they're playing. So they had this mystery thing on. It's like a mystery documentary. And they were talking about, and this one drew my attention. They were talking about this doctor who was a well-known doctor, just popular in this town in Arkansas someplace. But, you know, and stupid rich, really rich. You know, so she had her practice. And she was popular, but then she had all these other investments. And, you know, she was just rich, just like a lot of assets going on. And long story short, you know, ended up, you know, connecting with this shady guy, not a lover or anything, but, like, he was the husband of some girl working with her. But anyway, it's a shady deal, you know, took him some money because he said he could get some more money for her. And so she took the money late that night to his someplace they were going to meet with a suitcase. She had a suitcase with $1 million. He didn't ask for $1 million. He only told her you could do something with $25,000, right? But she took a million something. And next thing you know, they never saw her, him, or the suitcase again. Can't find nobody. Well, they found him eventually, and he confessed, you know, to having murdered her. Rich with righteousness. You see, that's why the Bible tells you contentment with godliness is great gain. Do you understand? Contentment with godliness. She didn't need more money. And it's okay to be wealthy. We're not saying anything against wealth, because I think too often people hear, oh, we see, money is... No, no, no. Love of money is the root of evil. And that's why we're constantly, you know, admonishing you and telling you to put God in your heart. Fall in love with God. Get to know God. You want your children, thank God for their successes, but you want your children to be in love with God. You want to be in love with God. And so as he blesses you, as the wealth comes, as the success comes, you have success. Success doesn't have you. Because when success has you, when money has you, then there's no telling what you'll do. So that's why we're always saying the word, the word, the word. You got to hide this word in your heart, because the word of God is instruction, and it'll guide you. It'll guide you. It'll guide you. It'll guide you. It'll keep you from making wrong choices. It'll keep you from greed. It'll keep you, you know, the Holy Spirit being with you and being in you, discernment will come. And so that's why when God tells you in Joshua 1:8, let not this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, being sure to do all that is written therein. He said, now, for then you will make your way prosperous. God wants you prosperous, but he wants you to do it the right way. You will make your way prosperous, and you will have what? Good success. I think it's so awesome that he calls it good success. Good success. So it's not just, we're not just trying to be successful. It's good success, and the good success is success rooted in Christ. Rooted in the word of God, where God is at the center, his word is at the center of your being, always navigating you. Yeah, you might bump your toe at times. Yeah, you might make a mistake. Oh, man, I can't believe I did that. Can't believe I said that. Oh, forgive yourself, right? Get up, keep going. Because why? The word is in you, and God is not beating you up, right? He said he will blot out. He blots out your iniquities. He says, I'll remember them no more. You see? So you go to him with a sincere heart, with a humble heart. You ask for forgiveness. Lord, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. You repent. And then the devil will try to bring it back to you. Remember when you did? You know that you did. I can't believe it. You forget it. Devil, God has forgiven me. And then you have a word now that you're holding on to, and you're going forward. So you're going forward, guided by the word of God. And then this way, everything doesn't look like an opportunity. You see? Every scam isn't grabbing you because you're being driven by need or by fear. Do you understand? Listen, man, we got a great inheritance here. We got a great inheritance here. We've got power. We really do. But we just have to engage with God's word. You got it? All right. Let's close up. Father God, we just want to thank you for your word today. We thank you for all that you have said. There's so much more that you've said, and we weren't able to get to it all. But we thank you that it's in the book. Hallelujah. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you, oh God, that your word will never fail. Luke 1:37, God, we know that your word will never fail. And so we thank you for it. We praise you for your word. Lord, let everything that we heard today go deep into our hearts and minds, and let it bring transformation and healing to our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. And to you alone, Lord, be all the glory. To you be all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And Lord, bless these people that come here to listen. You know, they said it was going to hit one. God, you see, didn't nobody hit one today. But anyway, we love them anyhow, right? Jesus. All right. All right. Come on, let's say it together. I will stay focused. I will build my faith. I will pray in the Holy Ghost. I will be consistent. It is my new dawn. And in the mighty name of Jesus, yes, it is. That consistency piece, that thing is critical. Be consistent day and night. Day and night, going deeper. Day and night. Don't settle for nothing that's not of God that's in your life. Just, you know, bite down on his word day and night. Be consistent. Be consistent every day. Every day, every day. All right? I love you. God bless you. We'll be with you next week. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
I'm born to reign in life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm destined for greatness. Are you born to win? Hey, yeah. Are you born to reign in life? You are no ordinary person. You are destined for greatness. Oh, help me say, help me say.
Born to reign,
say.
Born to reign life.
I am no ordinary
person.
Whoa, whoa.
I'm dancing for
sing it like you believe it.
Born to reign.
Born to reign.
Born to reign life. I'm no ordinary person. I'm dancing for
circumstances may come to challenge me. Situations may come just to end me. But when they turn me to the left and right, they realize that I am the light. When my brothers look at me and despise me, when my sisters stand to mock and reject me, they'll be surprised that I'm standing strong. And I tell them, look, it won't be long, 'cause I'm born to win. Yes, I am, yes, I am. I am no ordinary, ordinary person. No, no.
I'm dancing for
sing it like you mean to say.
Born to win.
Wouldn't I?
na na woyo.
Born to reign in life.
I'm no ordinary.
No ordinary.
No, 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 no.
I'm destined for greatness.
Oh yes, yes I am.